So we're going to continue in Romans, and when Pastor Joe asked me a couple weeks ago to preach today, he was in like Romans chapter 8, right? And he's like, okay, so 9, 10, yeah, okay, you preach on 12. I'm like, cool, no worries. So I prepared the message this week, and I called him on Friday. I'm all, hey, dude, I forgot, I wasn't at church last Sunday. Where'd you guys leave off, you know? And he goes, oh, I didn't even get through chapter 9. I'm like, oh, all right. I said, well, I'm preaching on 12 anyway. He said, no problem. They probably won't even notice. So that's good. You guys will get 9 through 11 next week. No worries. It's all good, though. Hey, so we pick it up in chapter 12 of Romans, but just to give you like just a little bit of background of, you know, 9 through 11 or whatever, you know, Paul's writing the Roman church. He's never met them before, and he's writing them, encouraging them, and mostly like 9 through 11 is really all about Jerusalem and how, you know, the Jews are the chosen ones, but God has hardened their hearts, the ones that are rejecting Jesus, so he can start scooping up the Gentiles. Like, now it's time for the Gentiles. God is scooping all these. They're not chosen. They're the outsiders. God's scooping them all in. And when he's done doing that, you know, that he'll redeem the Jews. And so he's basically 9 through 11 is all about that. So we get to 12, and I'm going to read 12 verse 1. And so Paul says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, Joe asked me to preach out of the NLT, so I'm not used to really preaching out of that version, but he's given all the Romans so far in NLT, so I'm honoring that. But the other versions say, you know, well, this says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice for God. See, what Paul is saying is because of what God has done for us, because of all that he has done, we were tagged and bagged for an eternity in hell. We were tagged and bagged to never, ever have a relationship with God while we were here on earth. We were out, and he brought us in. We were sinners, not thinking about him, not caring about him, just doing our deal. And he died for us. He sent Jesus. Jesus lived a sinless life. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of. And then he was crucified, stabbed, died, and then raised again on the third day for us. That is amazing. For some of you, even new Christians, it's hard to wrap your head around, right? With as much faith as I have, I want to believe that. But it's hard to wrap your head around somebody living a sinless life and then being crucified and dying as a sacrifice for you and me, who he's never even met in a human mind. He knows us, by the way. He knew us before the creation of the world. He knew us. But because of this revelation, because of all that God, who didn't have to do it, did for us, I plead with you. I plead with you to live the kind of life where you pay attention and you consider God in your decisions. Now, let me give you an example. When I make decisions in my life, I need to consider my wife and my kids, right? I mean, when I make decisions in my life, it directly affects them. They're my family. So if I decide to you know, do something extreme, it's going to affect them. Now, so when I make my decisions, whether it be business or personal or whatever, I always know that I have a wife and kids to think about in that decision. So, same with God. It's the same kind of relationship. That's why God's relational. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me and you, me and my wife, my other relationships. It's to hone us. And what Paul is pleading with us here is that we make that connection. Because here's the thing. You and I will never do it perfect. I want to. I want to treat this body, my life that God has given me, holy, as a living and holy sacrifice. Unblemished, holy. There's no sin in holy. But it's impossible for me to do that. That's why Jesus came. It's impossible for you to live a holy, sinless life. That's why Jesus came. He's not asking us to perfect this. What Paul is pleading with us is that we put on that mindset of being so grateful of what God has done. I mean, I was a selfish, self-centered, violent, junkie, convict. You know, and God said, yes, I love you. I pick you to preach to the people. I am so grateful for that, you guys. Because I would much rather be here sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ than doing life in Pelican Bay or strung out in Santa Ana somewhere. Because that's what could have happened. So I consider, do I do it perfect? No, guys, I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you. I don't. But I strive for it, right? It's putting on that mind that I've been giving something very, very precious. A chance. A second chance. Life. Real life. So when I make my decisions, I want to consider who I belong to, who paid the price for me, and consider them in that. Now that really means that when I blow it, because I will, I repent. I make amends where I need to make amends. But I strive for holiness. I strive to make that right decision. I strive and I get into His Word and I get into His presence. That's my part in it. That's how I learn, is getting into His Word. Getting into His presence. Hearing Him speak to me. Because God will speak revelation to you. If you get alone with Him, man, and the world is blocked out, God will speak to you. And if you're in His Word and you know His voice, you'll hear Him. You will. And there's been moments in my life where my life has shifted, literally pivotal shifts from one word from God. So this is Paul earnestly pleading with the Roman church in view of the magnificence of God and His infinite wisdom to let you and I in the fold. We're in the family. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to them. So when I no longer just live my life. I live my life with you. I'm going to live my life with you. That's my commitment. Thank you, Jesus, that you know it ain't going to be perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. You knew I was going to screw up and sent provision before me so I can make this commitment to you. I don't have to be scared about screwing up because I already know I'm gonna. But I can be quick to repent. I can be quick to learn and pray that I don't have to repeat the same mistakes. And I can keep going from glory to glory and faith to faith like you promised me, God. Because it's Him doing the work. It's just me being willing. Amen? That's our part in it. My acts, my goodness is nothing to God's goodness. Amen? It's like filthy rags, and we'll read that. So, okay, now that I've explained what dying to self and living a holy life or whatever looks like, let's have a little fun. Let me make you laugh for a little bit. So I'm going to make fun of you and me. You ready? Okay, I got props. Okay, because I like visuals. You know, helps me put the word into perspective. So, this is an altar. This is where we go to die. Okay? Now, the reason why God does this privately with us is because if we literally had to go to an altar and be the sacrifice, like they used to do in the old days, but it was with calves and lambs and all that stuff. But if God made us get on an altar today to die to the things of the flesh and the things of the world, let me tell you, we would be like this. Okay, God, heal my family, Lord. Heal my family. Heal my relationships. Heal my marriage, God. He's like, amen. Let's do it. Climb up there, cowboy, because we're starting with you. And so, if this was public, though, I'd be like, okay, Lord, hang on. Hey, bro, okay, log on to Facebook, go live. You ready? Altar selfie. Hashtag humble. Hashtag dying for Jesus is tough, but it's who I am. Right? We would. I'd be like, shirts off, Lord, shirts off to go on the altar. Hang on, God, hang on. We would so do that. I follow you guys on Facebook. You would do it. But seriously, though.
How many likes do I got?
Yeah, how many people liked my sacrifice to the Lord? So you get up. This is what we think it looks like. This is what we feel like when we sacrifice. And we, you know, okay, God, you know, I've been getting angry lately. I want you to heal me of this anger. Take this anger away. And so I'm opening myself up to you. I want you to do surgery on me. Like, kill that part of me, God. I'm asking you to kill that part of me. So we think it goes like this, right? It's that easy. Lord, kill me. And he's like, okay. And we're like, okay. Go for it, God. Oh, God. Look how much I love you, Jesus. Look at how much I love you. Look what I'm doing for you in your kingdom. I'm dying like this. Oh. And then I resurrect. Oh, perfect, right? In God, in spirit. Here's what it really looks like. Okay, God, help me with my anger. Help me with my anger, God. Help me with my anger. I'm going to get on the altar. You're going to do a little work on me. Go ahead, kill me. Hold up. Wait. Did you hear how she just talked to me? Did you see? Now, I'm going to die for that? Are you serious? Like, wait a second. Well, what about her? What about him? What about them? Huh? So we start to get on the altar, and we're like, wait, hold up. Oh, hey. Maybe I'm being a little too, you know, extreme, God. Right? Because it's painful. It's painful. And we're here. You can sit down, brother. Thank you. I love you. We can sit there and make deals with God. We can sit there, you know what I mean? But here's the thing. Because just like you and I will never, if you say, hey, Chris, do me a favor. Take a scalpel, slam it into your thigh, cut yourself open, and do surgery on your leg. Now, I could tell you, sure, I could do that, no problem. But the truth is, I'm not going to do that. It hurts. I might even get the scalpel in like that, but that's as far as I'm getting, man, because I'm screaming and running for the hospital as soon as that happens. I'm not going to willingly operate on myself, just like I'm not going to really willingly hop up on an altar and let God start working on me. What happens is I get with God. I start getting in His Word and I start reading, and He starts ministering to me about peace and love and joy and mercy and grace, and how because of what He did, not what I did or didn't do, I can have all of that whenever I want, however long I want, 24/7, 365. If I want to operate in the Spirit, I can. Right? Amen. Now, the reality is that I don't, but the altar is a place, it's God's love. Look, in a nutshell, it's God's love that'll get us up on the altar. It's me, the revelatory, either that or the pain is so great that I'm in, the relationship is so volatile that anything's better than this. Yeah, I'm going to hop up on that thing, do it. But other than that, it's God's love that draws us in. It's getting in His Word and going, wow, you mean I can have this instead of that? Wow, God, you mean like, oh, and then my heart starts to change and it starts to soften, and I start to learn and realize what's beyond me just making this decision to live in love and live in forgiveness and live in mercy. I don't want to live in anger. Like, I don't want to yell at my wife or my kids. I don't want to do stupid things like that. I don't want to cuss people out on the freeway, and I don't want to lose my, you know, I don't want to live in anxiety. Who does? None of you do, right? I love anxiety. No, nobody says that. Right? Except for the people that sell you Xanax. They'll tell you it's okay. But we begin, you know, you start reading the Word, and it's the love of God. It's the love of God that gets us on the altar, and we're like, God, please just be gentle. You know, take your time, be gentle. Because here's what it feels like sometimes, and I broke this first service. This is what it feels like sometimes when God's working on us. You're like, ow! Ouch! You know, life is tough right now, God. Life is tough. But the reality of what's going on is this God working on us. It's like surgery. He's got rock and roll going. He's taking His time. He's playing the heroes because He knows good rock and roll. He's God. And He's God, and He's working on you, man. He's like, oh, don't move. Quit moving. Quit moving. I got you. It's His love that gets us up on that table. And it's His love that keeps us there, too. Because that is uncomfortable. That is not enjoyable. That is us looking at that example. Okay, Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris yelled at his wife, lost control. It's some emotional stuff, but I lost control. And I yelled at my wife, lost controlled yelled this weekend. And it was not okay with me. I have yelled at people my whole life. But God's bringing me to a place of, that's not okay. Even if it's not my, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they do something that kind of deserves a reaction. Us freaking out and going ballistic is not okay. It's not. Because, why? Because I'm held to a standard by Jesus. There's a book in the Bible called Amos. There is. Amos 7 says, I have put a plumb line. I have put a plumb line for all you guys to go by. That's Jesus. I don't compare myself to other people because I'm either better or worse, or in my mind, right? I compare myself to Jesus. And Jesus says that I can have self-control. I have a sound mind. That I have peace in my heart, peace in my mind. So it was not okay with me. So, but I blew it, right? Didn't knock it out of the park. Blew it. So what I do, I get to repent immediately. I get to make amends immediately. Why? Because I'm considering everything that I've done that I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. And whether that's my wife or somebody at 7-Eleven or whatever, when I make a mistake, I need to make amends. I need to repent. And I truly believe this is something deep-rooted inside of me that God's finally bringing to the surface and going, we are dealing with this, son. And that's what he'll do with you. As you begin to change, and your mind changes, and your thoughts change, and you become more like Jesus. Those things that are deep rooted in you, and there are some in there, guys. God wants to heal us from that, and he'll bring it to the surface to where it's so gross in front of your face. You got to do something. You got to do something. That's the goodness of God. This, and he says at the end of the scripture, he says, this is truly the way to worship God. You see that? It's not sanitary and holy and some kind of religious. It's messy. It's you doing life with God. Maybe even not cussing at him, but you probably, I don't know, I've done it. What the heck is going on? I'm not going to say it today. What the blankety blank's going on? Do you even see what this is? Are you going to do something? You know, I've had conversations with him. He can take it. He's God. But doing life with him is going to be messy because we're messy. I just want to share that with you today so you don't give up. Or you don't have some fantasy in your mind that if you can't do it perfect, forget it. Because I don't know. I'm like that. I get frustrated. I can't do this. I can't live a holy life. Forget it. Look, if we understand that we're sinners, that's why we need Jesus. That's why we worship Jesus. That's why we call him Lord and Savior. That's why. I'm going to blow it. That's okay. Now, my heart is not to. But I'm going to. So we live that kind of a life where we strive towards goodness. We invest our time in the Word of God, in His presence. That's what brings change. Let's go to verse 2. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Another version says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Amen. Clap. It's killer. There's a pattern to this world. There is a pattern that this world's system goes on. You guys know it, and I know it, because we're getting hit with it every day. You watch the same kind of TV stations I do, radio stations, all that. And there's agendas behind it all. I'm not being like tinfoil hat conspiracy guy. You know what I'm saying? It's true. People's agendas are getting pushed through the companies that they own, which are TV stations and radio stations. And they're all telling us, you aren't enough. You need this credit card, and you need these, you know, this, you need a facelift, you need all that to be okay. You need more money, you need a better car, you need a better house, you need this refrigerator with a computer on it, you know what I mean? It's just, because yours sucks. That's what the world's telling us. Everything you got sucks. Look at this new stuff. It'll make you feel better, make you feel complete, for sure. That's a lie, right? So don't conform to the patterns of this world. Another pattern of this world is being selfish, self-centered, divisive. It's all about me and forget you. You know? That's another pattern of this world. Get all you can, put it in the can, sit on the lid. Everyone for himself. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but let God. Because here's the thing. Let God transform your mind. Let God transform your life through the renewing of your mind. See, that's the thing. We are bound. You and I, we can't help but look like this world, but conform to the patterns of this world on our own. We can't help it. It's the world we live in. You are going to conform to the surroundings you're in. Bottom line. But every time you and I get in the Word, every time we read the Word and we begin to renew our mind that has been plagued all day or yesterday. Richie was talking about reading the Word in the morning. Awesome. Good way to start your day. But your brain all day long is being pelted with stuff. Pelted. So it says, renew your mind with the Word of God. Get the truth in you about who you really are, who we really serve. Like, be reminded that we don't look at our circumstances. We look to God in His heart. Because our circumstances tell us one thing. Our feelings tell us a whole nother thing. And our feelings are like this, so we can never trust them. But we can trust the Word. The Word does it. It stays. The Word stays. The Word stays. The Word doesn't move. The Word transforms and renews our mind. It washes our brain. People say, you're brainwashed. Well, you know what? My brain was so dirty, it needed a good washing, man. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I might be the sickest one in the room, and that's okay. But I need mine washed all the time. Because it's that dirty, you know? And it gets that way. It's just like I said, I just went off on my wife this weekend. Yuck. Gross. I need a good washing. I need to renew my mind in that sense. I need to get with God. I need to climb up on the altar again. Sacrifice whatever that is that causes me to be so hurt that I lose control. There's something there, but it can be healed. God can heal me, and I know He's gonna. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message and the message heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Today, you are investing in yourself. You're investing in that spiritual spirit that lives inside of you. You are washing your mind. You're renewing your mind today. I know you came in one way today, and I pray in the name of Jesus, you're leaving a whole nother way today. With hope. Like, you know what? I'm not perfect, and I do screw up, but there is hope for me. There's hope for me in Jesus. And I'm valuable, and I'm a powerhouse for the Lord. In all my weakness, He's strong. That's why I'm a powerhouse for the Lord. It's Him, not me. I just make myself available. Same with you. It's willingness. That's our part. Just being willing. Then, it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you. You will learn what your purpose is. We have a purpose here on this planet, and it's not just to grind it out Monday through Friday. It is not. And you have to say, there's got to be more to life than this, right? Well, there absolutely is. And there is a purpose and a plan for you in this generation to make a difference. To make a difference in your life and other people's lives. And it's not anything that you and I do. It's just, like I said, it's us being willing, opening our mouths, or stepping out in faith and doing a courageous act of kindness that changes the world. In our brokenness, nothing changed. We're still broken. We're still sinners. But I want you to keep yourself in a good perspective in that sense. So let's take it to Romans 12:3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, this is Paul saying this to us in the Roman church, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. You see, we compare ourselves to Jesus. We don't compare ourselves to other people. And I don't think we have a huge problem with this in the church because, and this is what I love about His place, we're just so transparent. We just get up here and go, you know what, guys? I struggle with things, but I got victory in a lot. I know Jesus. I love Him. I'm on my journey. If you want to come with me, I'm right here. You encourage me, I'll encourage you. That's the way we are here. Nobody walking around like, we got it going on. You know what I mean? Because we're all honest with each other. We're like, we ain't got it going on here, but Jesus does. So, hey. But there's another thing to that, right? There's a flip side to that. It's thinking too less of yourself, right? So Isaiah 64:6 says this with thinking too much of ourselves, just to scripturally take us down a notch. When we are all infected and impure with sin, when we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. So none of us can be claiming we're all that in a bag of chips when it comes to being holy or Christians or knowing Jesus or anything. That's completely whack. But we also remember that we are royalty as well, that we're not big piles. You know what I'm saying? Because this is where I think a lot of people sit. They think less of themselves, which is just as much of a sin as thinking too high of yourself. Okay? God has not made a mistake with you. He doesn't make mistakes. Yes, you've been through some stuff that has damaged you. Yes, you've made some bad choices that have damaged your life, damaged the way your thought process. God can work with that. Good news, you're perfect. You're a perfect canvas for God to start a perfect painting of an imperfect person. And it's beautiful if you trust Him. But 1 Peter 2:9 says this, and I give this to you if you think you're not good enough to be a Christian, or you're not good enough to do this Christian thing, and you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I want you to listen to the scripture. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's me and you. We're powerful in the Lord. We are very valuable. We're valued. So don't ever think less of yourself. Yes, you're imperfect. Yes, you're a sinner. Yes, I agree. Me too. I'm glad we've established that. But the One who lives inside of us is greater than that. And all you and I need to do is be willing to get into His Word, willing to learn what He says about us and the way we're supposed to love others and do life, because He tells us in the book. He does. And the more we get with God, the more we get in His presence, the more we start to look like Him. Even Billy Graham. If Billy Graham quit weeding the world, I know he's dead or whatever, but if he, when he was alive, he was a powerhouse, right? Gnarly preacher, probably the most famous preacher ever. If you took the Word away from Billy Graham and he quit reading the Word, quit going to church, he would turn in to the guy he was before he knew Jesus. Why? Because it's impossible for us not to conform to the world around us if we're not renewing our mind. If Billy Graham didn't renew his mind, he would be the same way. So it's okay. It's okay you make mistakes. It's okay you're going to blow it. It's okay you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. Repent. Try not to make the same mistakes twice. Because that starts to be a little insanity, right? Making the same mistake over and over and over and over again, expecting different results, is insanity. So hopefully you're learning from your mistakes. But I want you to know that God understands. He loves you. I'm not telling you to go out and sin, guys. I'm not telling you it's okay. The wages of sin is death. When we do blow it, we bring some kind of death into the situation. When I yelled at my wife this weekend, I brought death into our relationship that I'll have to fix. And I did repent, and I did say I'm sorry, and I did make amends and stuff. But words can really cut, you guys. You know, I don't know if that's all the way healed. I don't know if I need to continue to make amends and heal that. I probably do. And I will. But I'm sharing this with you because I'm going to keep going. I mean, I didn't not come here today and preach the word. God, I can't go preach the word. I yelled at my wife. What kind of man yells at his wife and then is going to go declare the glory and the goodness of God? What kind of man does that? You see what I'm saying? If I allowed that to minister to me, I wouldn't be here. But I understand. I get it, God. And I am so sorry, Lord. You know, I hop on the... Continue to work on me, Jesus. It hurts and it sucks and it's frustrating. But God, I really do want to be like you. I really, really do. So I repent and I keep going. And I'll be there Sunday, God. And I'll preach your word to them, God. Because that's what you called me to do, Lord. Amen? Just like he's called you to something too, guys. He's called you. He's called you. So just don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Amen. So Romans 12, 4 through 8. Now that our feet are firmly planted on who we are in Christ, I have about 7 minutes. We have a job to do. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. So no one is greater or worse. I love that. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, we don't all have the same gifts, but we all have some of the same gifts, for sure. Why? Because I would say prophesying and teaching and even leading are gifts that you kind of grow into, you know? God may, you know, totally bless you with the ability to prophesy, but until you've really, like, learned his word and know about that stuff, I mean, it would be crazy, and I totally believe it can happen, but I would imagine that prophesying is something you grow into. Teaching is something you grow into. But serving, encouraging, giving, and showing mercy are gifts that we all can practice daily. Amen? I mean, come on, right? Attaboy, isn't that hard? Good job. That's encouraging. You know, as Christians out there in the world, man, while we're getting pelted, while life is happening, while we go through trials and tribulations and our spirit may be down, we have the opportunity to put others beyond ourselves and minister to them, minister love to them, minister hope and encouragement, right? Or when they do us wrong, we show them mercy. No, I'm not going to make you pay the price for that. I'm just going to forgive you. I'm going to practice that. Romans 12, 9 through 10 says this: don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Paul is telling us what it really looks like to be a Christian. Like, okay, so if you're like, well, so what does it look like to be a Christian? Paul tells us right here. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. So, don't just pretend to love. And here's the thing about love. Love's not a feeling. Love is an action word. Love is going to cost you. Love is going to cost you. Love is putting somebody's best interest. Your best interest is my priority. In this moment, in this situation, in this relationship, your best interest is my priority. Now, it is a lot easier for me to preach this to you today than to walk this out. Why? Because we're all selfish. We are. We're selfish and we're self-centered because we're humans. I say that, my face itched. I say that with love and just being real to all of us. I mean, it takes the pressure off. But this is what we strive for, and I need you to know that love is not a feeling. Because your feelings will go, I feel like I love you right now, you know? And I feel like I don't love you right now. Right? That happens in church, it happens in our marriage, it happens with our kids, it happens everywhere. I don't feel like I like you right now, you know? But love goes beyond that. That's why I say that. Love still operates even when our feelings don't line up with it. Love operates that way. So we strive to do that. It should be on our mindset that, because here's what the Bible says, no greater love is there than for one to lay down their life for another. Meaning I am literally laying down. What that looks like in relationships is I'm laying down what I think I deserve. I'm laying down what I think should be coming to me. I'm laying down the way I think he should treat me. I'm laying down all the me. I'm laying it down. And I'm just loving you right where you're at right now. That is hard. That's hard for you and I. But it's doable. We will have moments of victory in that. If we're conscious of it, again, this is where our willingness comes in. When we go out in the world this week, we are not going to do this perfect. So I'm just letting you know. We are not going to do this perfect. But if you and I, even for a moment this week, stop and go, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this. You know, like, I'm not going to stick my hand out and flip that guy off on the freeway. I'm going to stop. You know, even for a moment, there's little victories. And it's all about just being conscious. Just being conscious of who we are. Being conscious of who we are. And if you do flip them off, repent. Seriously. Lord, I'm sorry. God, help me. Because that's not your best for me. Right? Your best for me is not me freaking out so bad that I got to flip somebody off when they, whatever. Da 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 da. Your best for me is for me not to freak out even if somebody does this, this, and this. Your best for me is to have peace in the storm. Your best for me is to look at people as broken vessels doing the best they can with what they have, God. When I have the eyes of Jesus on, if you're looking through the eyes of Jesus, you can't get offended because you're looking at somebody that is broken as you, trying as hard as you, may not even have as many tools for life as you do. And you understand that. And so you just love them where they're at. You know, you might have to keep boundaries around them because if they're volatile or they're sick and they bring chaos and poison into your life, I'm not telling you you got to run alongside of them. But you do need to love them. Love them. Love them, even if it's from a distance. Love them. Love people. Meaning, I got to stop. Okay, and it's not about me. Making it about them. I can take that. I can stop myself in moments. Like I say, because it's a moment, right? we want to think in these grand pictures. This grand picture is a bunch of moments. It's a bunch of little moments. And I'm talking about those little moments where you have a choice. I'm either going to go off on this dude, or I'm going to take the high road. I'm either going to, I'm either going to lie, or I'm going to tell the truth. I'm either going to bottle it up, stuff it down, and resent. I'm going to stop, pray about it, ask the Holy Spirit to guide me, and then address the situation with the person in love. That's God's best for you. That's God's best for you. It's not to carry around poison. It's not to carry around that thing that that person did you 20 years ago that's still not okay. He wants to free you from that. He wants to free you because that poison you take into every relationship, every circumstance, the way you make decisions are based on that hurt. It all affects your life. So if there's anything like that going on inside of you, and I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you'd bring that to their mind, then you need to get up here with God. And you need to allow him to cut that thing out. You need to ask God to put the heroes on. And start operating. Because he wants to free you from that. And it doesn't need to affect you or guide you or poison you anymore. Everything runs through the foundation of love. It's the greatest commandment. I guess my life verse would be love God, love others. That's you can hang your hat on that. And every other scripture, every other thing, spiritual and earthly, has to be ran through that filter. The filter of love. If it can't be run through the filter of love, don't say it, don't do it. Love is the answer. And I know that sounds cliche or like a song or something. Love is the answer. See you next Sunday. You know what I mean? But it's true. It's true. It's the most powerful force in the universe is love. God is love. You get it? You can't beat it. You can't beat love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says this. Oh, it's 12:30. Ha! Never mind. Listen, I love you guys. I hope you got a lot out of today. Everything I've talked about today, it all is based on having Jesus Christ in your life. Being your Lord and Savior. Saying yes to Jesus. So if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's the day. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. You don't have to feel weird. I know you're scared. I remember giving my life to Jesus too. It was weird. It's good. I promise you it's good. If you, maybe you've fallen away. You've given your life to Jesus Christ before, but you know you haven't been living with him. And you just today ministered to you and you want to get right with him again. I encourage you. Let's pray. Because it's not about the prayer we're going to pray. It's about your heart. It's about you surrendering, going, yes, God, I heard you today. Through Pastor Chris, I heard you. Come into my heart and change me, Jesus. That's what I just want to give you an opportunity to do today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you know you've fallen away and you just want to get your heart right, I encourage you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. Church, repeat after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I declare, I turn from my old ways, and I turn to you today. And I declare, today I'm saved, today I'm changed, In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. See you next Sunday.